I'm simply saying that every one of us need to look for ways to encourage our spouse and encourage our children and encourage one another, laboring for one another in the Lord. Listen, my friend, we've got to get back to laboring in the matter of helping one another in the Christian life. May I say, we need to labor for our community as well, bearing the burdens of the community.
Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. We're about ready to go into one of the services here at Lancaster Baptist and open God's infallible Word. And I thank you for taking time to grow in your walk with Christ as we enjoy this service together. It's our prayer that today's podcast will meet a need in your life. Let us know how God's working in your life and stay in touch with us at lancasterbaptist.org. Thanks again for joining us today. May God richly bless you. Now let's go to the Word of God.
In the ministries of restoration, evangelism, and burden bearing, God intends for us as His people to be a blessing in this world. He intends for us to be a blessing to one another. He intends for us to encourage one another in the race. If there's one common characteristic that every family would experience this week, that common characteristic would be the fact that everyone here will bear a burden this week in some way. Everyone is going to have a challenge between now and next Sunday. And God has designed the Christian life in the local church to be a place where we would encourage, where we would be a blessing to one another during the good times, during the bad times, just encouraging one another along the way. And even as I encourage our church to serve, and as I encourage our church to give, as I mentioned a moment ago, to missions, it is because of my desire for you to be a part of the blessing. It's not an attempt to burden the people of God. It's an attempt and a desire to help you enter into the joy of ministry. I tell you right now, the folks that are kind of tickled and maybe a little tired and yet just delighted in this auditorium are those who had someone in church today and someone who was saved today. It's not a burden to be used of God. It is a blessing to be used of God. Now, bearing a burden, as we see in verse 2 tonight, the idea of bearing means to carry with endurance, to carry with endurance. I thank God tonight for people in this building who have evidenced the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit in their life by bearing burdens with endurance, by being faithful, even though you have a burden in your life or a trial in your life, by being faithful through the years. And it's just an encouragement to my heart. And so many around this auditorium are a blessing to me as I watch you bearing one another's burdens and watching you bear your own burdens. I see Mrs. Berry here tonight as she comes in service after service with her walker and as she struggles with arthritis. And yet she's bearing her own burden and bearing the burdens of others and being faithful. And how many of you say, you know what, when I see a saint of God like that, that encourages my heart. I see Brother and Mrs. Snyder over here. Brother Snyder, wave at me over here, right over here. And they've been married 60-plus years. And Mrs. Snyder, you have some fancy shoes on tonight. They're purple with little glitter in them. And they're beautiful. And I love to see Brother Snyder as he brings his wife down the aisle and helps her with her walker or her wheelchair, whatever the case might be. And I love to see the Thoroughgoods who often bring them to church. And they're bearing burdens. And Brother Snyder's bearing burdens. Mrs. Snyder bearing burdens. I'm just saying mature Christians are not saying, what do I get out of it? Mature Christians are looking to bear others' burdens. And in this time, and by the way, I believe fully that our country will come out of this economic time. But even more than that, I believe fully that Lancaster Baptist Church and her members will come out of it in a super abundant way. And I believe that will begin 2 weeks from today. And I believe as Lancaster Baptist members continue bearing the burdens of others and helping the missionaries and doing what we're supposed to be doing in the area of burden bearing, I've just seen it for 23 years, God is going to do something great in the midst of this church. But bearing means to carry with endurance. Not like some Christians who carry for a while and drop the pack. Not like some Christians who go until they're just kind of tired and then go AWOL. But what we're going to learn about tonight, bearing burdens, is something that is done over the long haul and to the glory of God. And so tonight, I speak to you on this subject. Lord, make me a blessing. And I share with you a threefold prayer that all of us should pray and desire in the matter of burden bearing. Notice, first of all, tonight, our prayer should be, Lord, make me helpful. Make me a helpful husband. Make me a helpful wife. Make me a helpful Sunday school teacher or church member. And I pray that this would be your heart. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's say this together. Ready, begin. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now that's the call of God for you and for me, to bear one another's burdens. And I believe tonight we'll see in a moment there are many ways to do this in prayer and in service and how we ought to look for opportunities to bear burdens, to take up a burden upon ourselves. And I want you to know as we begin this tonight, this is not an option. This is a command given in the Word of God. We are commanded in the Word of God to bear one another's burdens. You know someone without work right now? Have you taken groceries? Have you baked bread? Have you prayed? How are you at burden bearing? You know your husband has a heavy load at work. What are you planning to do extra? You know your wife's not feeling well. What are you planning to do extra? You know someone in the church that's just under the gun right now. How can you be a blessing? Because I'm telling you tonight, we are commanded to be a blessing. We are commanded to bear one another's burden. Now, I believe we can say tonight, Lord, make me helpful. I want to be a helpful Christian. I want to be a burden-bearing Christian. I want to try to be guilty of doing random acts of kindness for your people and infusing love and encouragement where the world only brings discouragement. Make me helpful. I believe we can do that in two ways. First, we do it in love. And we do this by loving one another with a Christ-like love. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, sometimes I hear Christians say, well, you know, I love him, I just don't like him. I don't know that that's a very good attitude. I believe we ought to have a spirit of love one for another. And I thank God for these many years, for the loving spirit at Lancaster Baptist Church. But let's keep it that way. Let's not get cliquish. Let's not have young couples just hanging with young couples and meeting couples with meeting couples and singles with singles. But let's remember that there's other people around us, and let's be kind and loving one toward another. John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Brother Bob Lane went home to be with the Lord Friday night. We'll announce more details about his service by Wednesday night. Perhaps, I believe it'll be Saturday, next Saturday. Brother Bob Lane was a great man of God. Brother Bob Lane, for 20 years, lifted his pastor's burden. See, well, he wasn't on staff. He wasn't a deacon. He was a holy man of God who for 20 years lifted his pastor's burden. For 20 years, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, he sat in his place. For the last 9 years, he sat right in that corner. For 20 years, Brother Bob Lane came up to his pastor after a service on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And often he would say something like this, like Don Armour and so many before him. Brother Lane would come and say, "That was good, Pastor. That helped me. Wow, I never heard it like that. Pastor, I love you. Thanks for being our pastor. Just keep preaching it." Sometimes he'd say, "Joyce needed that one." Something like that. For 20 years, he was a blessing. For 20 years, he endeavored to lift the burdens of others in his pastor. And I'm saying, a lot of people come and go, But this matter of bearing burdens means for the long haul, saying, I want to be a blessing to my wife. I want to be a blessing to my husband. I want to be a blessing to my children. I want to be a blessing to my pastor. I want to help to bear some burdens. And how I thank God for the older men. A lot of young men come and go and get quirky and get into sin and get into this issue and that issue. But these men in their 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, and when they say, I'm for you and I love you, you don't have to wonder if they'll be gone with the next rabbit trail the next week. I mean, faithfully bearing burdens and faithfully loving God and loving the people of God and loving the man of God. And thank God tonight for people who know how to bear burdens by just loving. By loving. I wonder tonight, are you the kind of a church member? Are you the kind of a family member that people wonder if he's really in it? I wonder where his heart is. Or are you like a Bob Lane? I never had to wonder one time. His love was so evident. His wife never had to wonder. His love was so evident. His children never had to wonder. As we had the 60th wedding anniversary, we had to go to the Lane's house a few weeks ago. I took some of the staff over and a few of our church members that are here tonight. We took some cake, and Brother and Mrs. Wall sang. They sang that old spiritual, Let Me Call You Sweetheart. It was good. Come up here and sing that right now. That was so good, Brother Wall. Come on, real quick. You guys come up. Just talking about love, you know, we're just kind of getting the mood here right now. Oh, that was good. You don't need a microphone. Come on, brother. Just get up here and use this.
Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you.
Amen.
Let me hear you whisper that you love me too. Keep the love light glowing in your eyes so true. Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you.
Well, amen. Way to go, brother. I'll tell you what, Brother Wall sang that song and Brother Bob had tears coming down his face. He said, I do love my wife. A little later on, he said, I sure love my Lord. He said, Brother Rasmussen, I wish I could be in church Sunday. Just wish I could be there. I'm just saying, you didn't have to wonder about the man's love. He was a burden-bearing man. He was a loving man, encouraging others. And then we not only can be helpful through this matter of love, but may I say, secondly, in the matter of labor. You see, the Bible says, bearing one another's burdens. The word burden speaks of a heaviness or a weight or a trouble. You say, well, I'd get involved in the ministry, but you know, I understand you got to come early if you're in that ministry. You got to go to practice if you're in that ministry. I understand you're expected to have some faithfulness requirements, but may I say tonight that there's never been a burden-bearing ministry that didn't take some extra bit of effort, some extra bit of love. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. My friend, when was the last time you said, I want to help bear someone's burden? I thank God for our adult teachers and our deacons and others in this church who just look to bear some burdens and help someone with a hospital visit or help someone in their time of need. And you see, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly and comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak and be patient toward all men. And God wants us to look for those who are maybe about to go under and those that maybe are struggling and say, hey, let me give you a helping hand. Hey, why don't you be my soul winning partner? Hey, let me take you for an In-N-Out burger. Amen. That's one of the best ways to bear a burden if you have not known that lately. My wife and I, yesterday, we finished up soul winning. She's on a special diet right now. She cannot have In-N-Out Burger. That is an ungodly diet. I said, honey, before we go back to church, I'm kind of hungry. We were buying In-N-Out Burger. And then I remembered about the diet. She said, okay. I was thinking about In-N-Out. We'll go to El Pollo Loco. Now, I love El Pollo Loco. El Pollo Loco is good. Mexican food is wonderful. But how many poyo bowls can you eat in 1 week? How much cilantro can you chop in 1 week? I'm telling you right now. But el pollo will do. Whatever you've got to do, you find someone that has a need, try to be a blessing to them in their time of need. Try to encourage them. You see, true love always finds a way to labor. I love you, sweetheart. Don't just call her sweetheart, but look for a way to show your love. The Bible's very clear in our labor. The Bible says to the family, husbands, love your wives. And God wants us to lead the way in loving and in expressing love as Jesus did. Someone said there are two times when a man does not understand a woman: before marriage and after marriage. But keep on working at it, fellas. Keep on loving and laboring. One man went to the doctor. To his dismay, he was diagnosed with a number of different maladies and illnesses. Most were stress-related. He had heart problems. He had ulcers. He had so many different problems. And the doctor said, you probably ought to have your wife come in. And before they went into the room, the doctor spoke privately with the wife. He said, "Now, ma'am, I've got to be honest with you. Your husband is very critical. His heart said that his heart could go at any minute." And she said, "I've got to let you know." He said, "I've got to let you know that he cannot take any stress at all." She said, "Well, what should I do?" The doctor said, "Well, in the morning, I'd play some nice music in the home. I'd make his breakfast, massage his back. Don't let the kids make any noise. Just do your very best to keep the stress low." She looked at the doctor. She went into her husband. Her husband looked up to her and said, "What did the doctor say?" She said, "The doctor said you're going to die." That's not exactly burden-bearing. God wants us to bear the burdens. I believe in light of verse number 1, many of those burdens are spiritual burdens. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. There may be times when we need to labor a little extra. Maybe your husband's discouraged spiritually. By the way, there may be many manifestations in many other areas where a man is discouraged. But may I say, often the root of discouragement is spiritual. There's always the fruit, and then there's always the root. And what we see in the way of fatigue, and what we hear in the way of criticism, and what we sense in the way of a change of attitude, sometimes is rooted down in the fact that there is a spiritual need for growth, repentance, some type of encouragement in the Lord. And sometimes it's hard for a man to encourage himself in the Lord, and he needs a wife to help in that way, and maybe slip a little Bible verse in his lunch pail, or say a little extra prayer for him, or try to be a blessing. And I thank God for a wife that endeavors to bear her husband's burden. I think of the little encouraging note yesterday and little email this morning. I'm praying for you as you stand up and preach, and how we thank God for that. And I'm simply saying that every one of us need to look for ways to encourage our spouse and encourage our children and encourage one another, laboring for one another in the Lord. Listen, my friend, we've got to get back to laboring in the matter of helping one another in the Christian life. May I say, we need to labor for our community as well, bearing the burdens of the community. We can be a church that complains about the community, or we can be a church that bears the burdens of the community. We can be a church that makes a difference. Jesus said, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full." And one of my prayers is, Lord, let our church be helpful in this community. Let us truly help to make a difference in the Antelope Valley with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray that tonight. Lord, make me a helpful husband. Make me a helpful wife. Make me a blessing. Notice, secondly, we ought to pray, Lord, make me humble. Lord, make me humble. Notice in verse 3 what the Bible says. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now let me share this with you very quickly tonight. One of the great dangers of being the one who's restoring the other one, one of the great dangers of being maybe the wife who's helping the husband, or the husband who's helping the wife in their low time, if you're not careful, you can begin to get puffed up in your mind. and you begin to think higher of yourself, more highly than you ought to. One of the great dangers of bearing burdens is that you will begin to think that you're the strong one. And the Lord knows there's plenty too much in the way of Pharisaicalism in many of our good churches tonight. The last thing we need to do is think, look at all the souls that were saved, or look at how I helped this one or that one. And all of a sudden, and many times it's not easily detected, all of a sudden pride can come into our heart. And when we're restoring and burden bearing, it's easy to begin to think more highly of ourselves than we should. And so the Bible tells us in verse 3, if a man thinks he is himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let me just challenge you with this tonight. First of all, beware of false pride. Beware of false pride. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. I read from an epitaph that was on a gravestone some years ago. It was placed there. And the epitaph said these words. She lived with her husband 50 years and died in confident hope of a better life. Here lies Jane Smith, wife of Thomas Smith, marble cutter. This monument was erected by her husband as a tribute to her memory and a specimen of his work. Monuments of this same size are $350. You know, don't be one of those people that can't do a good work without advertising it, you know. It's okay to go soul winning and not announce it to your class. It's okay to lead someone to the Lord and not put it on Twitter. It's okay when God uses you and it was just fun between you and God that you were used of God. And the fact of the matter is many times we can publish glad tidings, put it in the newsletter. Our church as a church has never put an attendance figure in our church newsletter. We don't plan to begin doing that. Sometimes we'll say how many doors were knocked or how many folks went out soul winning, things like that. But I'm just simply saying it's fine to say when somebody got saved and put it down and let everybody know. But it's okay sometimes too not to let everything be known. And we just want to always make sure that whatever we're doing it to the glory of God. And those lessons, how many of you would agree with me that this of which I speak at this moment is a lifelong learning process? Because about the time you think, you know, I think I'm pretty humble, you just fell off again. You fell off the wagon again. Years ago, I was pastoring my first pastorate. I was a Bible college student, and I believe maybe about 19 years old when we had a piece of property given to the church. We'd been meeting in a double-wide mobile home, and I was having a good time preaching, and someone gave us this piece of property, and I was driving down Interstate 10 and on my way back from preaching out near the Salton Sea and heading back to Bible College, and as we were driving by, I saw a big lot filled with modular buildings, and they were for sale, and I pulled in and made a note. The next Saturday, drove back out and looked at those modulars, and they were old bank modulars, and I thought, boy, that would be a great church right there, triple-wide bank modular. I told my wife, I said, it has a drive-through window. If folks are absent from church, they can at least drop their offering off before they go. Perfect setup for a church. And I got involved in our first capital stewardship program, 19 years old. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about preaching a lot about giving or anything like that. And all I knew was one time I'd seen a thermometer somewhere, so I put a thermometer on the church wall, and it was from zero to $25,000. And I just said, folks, we need to buy this, and I want to put some money down. I think we put $500 down on it. And I said, as soon as we get it paid for, we'll bring it out here. And I'm not kidding you, within several months, $25,000 on that little thermometer was given. And the next thing, lo and behold, we're bringing out the triple-wide modular. I was excited. I announced to the church, there'll be a work party next Saturday. We're going to all get together. We're going to come out. And I want all the men to come. We were averaging about 70 in attendance. We had about 30, 35 men probably. I said, I want all the men to come. And what we were going to do is we're going to put these railroad ties, about 12 feet long railroad ties. We're going to put some of these jacks on top of them. And then you get a wrench and you kind of ratchet the wrenches around and you kind of level up that triple-wide modular until you get a level and everything's fine. And I was excited. We were living all the way back here near near West Covina area. And so we got up real early on a Saturday morning. We drove all the way out. I believe we had to be there at 8 o'clock. We got there for the work day, and I was ready. I was excited. We had our orange Honda Civic hatchback wagon humming right out there to the desert, pulled in just ahead of 8 o'clock, waiting for the God's army to show up for the work day. 8 o'clock came, no one was there. 8:05 came, no one was there. Excuse me, I just drove 150 miles to get to the work party. I missed breakfast to get to the work party. I was sitting there excited to serve the Lord, but by 8:15, to be honest with you, I was frustrated. I was beginning to think, where are these bunch of backslidden Baptists? I mean, I announced there's a work day. We're all supposed to come and work. I drove 150 miles. No one came. But about 8:20, one guy did come. His name was Howard. A lot of people in that area knew Howard because for a living, what Howard did, he drove his three-wheel bicycle up and down the freeway collecting tin cans. That was what he did for a living. A lot of people knew Howard. Howard, I suppose, was probably in his 40s at that time. Black glasses with tape holding them together right here in the middle. Howard had a really nifty little bell right on this handlebar, so when he came around corners, he'd always ring it so you'd know right where he was. Sure enough, he came around the corner, he rung the bell, he waved at me. God's man, sitting in the car, angry and upset. He waved at me. I waved back at him. My wife said, well, go work. I got out of the car. I said, all right, Howard, looks like it's you and me. We got down underneath that modular building. I don't know how hot it was. It gets very hot. I don't believe in purgatory, but if there was a purgatory, it'd be in Coachella, California. It was well into the 100s already by 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm under there with Howard, and we're trying to get first the railroad ties in. I'm on my back. There's daddy long-legged spiders crawling in my back, my face. There's dirt going down my shirt. I am pushing those railroad ties one way. Howard's pushing them the opposite way. I don't know how you say it today, but Howard had some mental learning problems. And one of the things he had problems with was knowing which direction to push those big pieces of lumber. I'm getting tar in my hands, slivers in my fingers, didn't think to bring gloves. I thought one of the other men of God would bring some gloves for the pastor. Just like I thought Mrs. Colefield would share that candy bar with me. A lot of these things don't come to pass. You hint, you pray. I'm under there with dirt going down my neck, pushing that piece of lumber. I'm just about frustrated as I could be. None of the other men came. It's hot. No one's helping. Howard's pushing the thing the wrong way. And pretty soon, he looked down one of those pieces of lumber at me, and he said, show is fun, isn't it, Pastor? I'll never forget that day as long as I live. It was like the Holy Spirit of God convicted my heart. He was having the time of his life. I was frustrated and upset. I was losing the blessing. And many times since that day, the Lord has said to me, not with an audible voice, mind you, but he said to my heart, you just need to be a little retarded for me today. You say, Pastor, you're meeting that qualification regularly. Well, you know what I learned that day? Someone who has maybe some mental difficulties, they're not as worried about everything else. They don't really worry so much about how they look. They don't really worry about who else is there. If you're there, that's good. They're just glad to be there serving the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. We need to beware, even in doing good things, of getting filled up with pride. Look at me, how long I've driven the bus. Listen to my voice in the choir. Look at what I can do. Look at what I have taught. And the Bible says in this verse number 3, if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, and by the way, if the Apostle Paul was just a pile of dirt, that probably would be about where we would fit. We need to beware of false pride. Secondly, we need to beware of self-deception. The Bible says, when he is nothing, you see. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. May we never think that our service is indispensable, that our talents are indispensable, that our giving is indispensable. May we never have the idea, my wife is sure lucky she has me. My husband's sure lucky that he has me. This church is sure lucky to have me. All of us must live every day with the thought, I'm just glad that as a sinner, I've been saved by grace. And so we pray tonight, Lord, make me helpful this week. Lord, and while I'm trying to be helpful, make me humble this week. Help me not to think more highly of myself than I should. And then notice thirdly and finally tonight, Lord, make me honorable this week. I want to be a man or woman of integrity. I want you to be glorified in my life. Notice if you would in verse number 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. God says he wants us first to be honorable through a proven work. He wants our lives and our testimony to speak. The word here, proven, speaks of something that may be scrutinized, something that is recognized in a time of examination as being genuine. And it is to say, Lord, I want my life, I want the work of my life to speak of you in my life and to glorify you in my life. And we are commanded in the scriptures to examine ourselves and to make sure that there's integrity and wholeness of spiritual heart as we do the work of God. 1 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Paul said to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. Listen tonight, many times we're experts at knowing what's wrong with our spouse, what's wrong with the guy in the pew next to us. God said, my number one challenge for you, my number one assignment for you in the area of examination is you yourself. Looking into the perfect law of liberty and seeing what you need to see as I speak to your heart through my word. Romans 14:10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you see. God is going to make a lot of things right at that day. But may I say that every one of us have a responsibility to live honestly before the Lord. James 4 and verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. My main objective tomorrow is not necessarily that Terry will do that which is good or that my children do that which is good, though I pray they all will. It's not primarily that you will do that which is good, though I will pray for many of you, most of you by name within the next several days, and I'll ask God to help you, and I'll ask God to bless your family, and I pray that you do good. But my primary concern tomorrow morning is not you, and it's not my family in that sense. My primary concern tomorrow is that I will do what God wants me to do. And may we begin every day, Lord, reporting for duty. I want you to use my life for your glory in this day. And so as I prove my work, as I have a life and a testimony that is worthy of the examination, I can then bring honor to the Lord. Notice secondly, we do this through a persistent work, through a proven work, but through a persistent work. Now come back, if you will, to verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, a moment ago, we said we need to bear one another's burdens. That is so true. But there comes a time in life when, like David, we must learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. When we learn how to bear a burden by ourselves, when we perhaps are shipped to Afghanistan, or you're in LA in a difficult situation, or you are not surrounded by Christians, and God says there are some times when we learn to bear our own burden. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. God says, I want you to learn to support yourself physically. I want you to support yourself and learn how to bear your burden spiritually.
2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. I heard about two fellows that walked into a downtown area. They saw a sign in the window of one of the buildings. The sign said, "No help wanted." The friend said to his buddy, "You should apply. You'd be great at that." Do you know some people like that? Just no help. You'd rather they didn't come to help. But our testimony ought to be that, you know what? I can carry my load and I can help to carry someone else's load. I want to have an honorable testimony as a Christian who bears others' burdens, but also as a Christian who's willing to stand alone when no one shares your burden, when no one shares their chocolate. When no one seems to notice what you're under, that even then you can say, "Lord, I'm glad to be able to serve you." You know, it would be a wonderful thing if every time you had a burden, someone really noticed and tried to help. And that should be our goal as a church. But how many of you have noticed, not every time does somebody notice? And it's then, when you ought to say, "Thank God for His Word and for His Spirit. And Lord, I want to meet with You and I need You to help me with this burden. Make me a blessing, Lord." Husbands, would you go into this week saying, "Lord, make me a blessing"? Wives, would you go into this week not saying, "Lord, help Norbert to straighten up"? But would you go into this week saying, "Lord, make me a blessing"? How about some fifth and sixth graders and some teenagers? How about some young people saying, "Lord, this week I want to be a blessing to my daddy. This week I want to be a blessing to my mommy. Lord, this week, make me a blessing. I want to be a burden bearer this week. Make me helpful, make me humble, and make me honorable in this world as I live to glorify You."
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.